Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nobody No Problem. I'm Kristen.
I'm Katie.
And it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Cheers. We are talking about murder again. Currently trying to improve sound quality for you guys and bought foam for the walls, and it's falling off. So
it's been an adventure today.
If you hear one of us get scared, it's because the foam behind us fell and hit us in the head. It won't hurt. Don't be alarmed. But it is startling because you're not expecting it.
Yeah. All of a sudden you just see a shadow. And you expect it to be a murderer, but it's just a piece of foam falling at your face.
Well, yes. So in the coming weeks, the sound should be better, hopefully. We are still learning, as you all know. This is our second job.
Give us time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that happened. What else did you do this week? What were we talking about?
Mm-hmm. I watched Richie Rich yesterday.
And it's going.
It's holding on. Nope.
Right into the file.
Yeah, no. I watched Richie Rich yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That was always a classic. Macaulay Culkin in his heyday.
On HBO.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to watch that.
And I love that movie. Like I said, it made me want a Big Mac real bad.
Yeah,
I didn't give in. Mostly because I didn't want to leave my house. Yeah. But
I feel like nowadays, it would be a Starbucks, not a McDonald's.
They're kids. Oh, kids like Starbucks.
They do.
They're so different than we were.
Yeah, for sure.
We would go to Dunkin' Donuts on our way to or from school at Central, but we went for the 3 donuts for $1. We
and
didn't
hot chocolate.
Go for a Frappuccino.
Well, sometimes in the summer I'd get a culotta.
Yeah, but it's still not like coffee.
Yeah, it's not a lot of coffee. It's a lot of milk. Or I would do hot cocoa. Dunkin' Donuts has some bomb hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because it was freezing. We'd have to walk to school. Granted, it was 2 blocks, but whatever. We live in Chicago. It was horrible.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. We don't have hills to walk up and down.
Yeah, right? So, positive news.
Positive news.
Well, I'm going to let Katie say positive news because it's your sister.
It's true.
I mean, she's my, sister from another mister.
My sister had a baby on Tuesday.
She did.
Shout out, Jessie.
Yep.
Congrats again. His name is Mateo Gabriel, and he was 8 pounds, 9 ounces, and he's got a full head of hair.
Yes. He's very cute and doing well, and so is Mom. So that's great positive news.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, world.
Yep. I got to meet him yesterday. He's so small. And
I love baby feet.
I was just looking at his fingernails, and I'm like, look at how small his fingernails are. And I'm like, let's paint them. And my mom was like, no! As if I was being serious about painting a baby's fingernails.
Absolutely not, Katie. Yeah. No, don't do that. But
well, I didn't.
I get you. The toenails and the feet and the little baby hands.
The lips. Small. The baby lips are what get me. Because the bottom always
juts out. They're adorable. But yes, good news all around. Again, Mom and baby are doing really well. So good stuff. Good stuff. Otherwise, it's been a crazy long week. The snow is melting.
Yes.
Everybody in the Midwest who's listeners, yay!
And everyone's finding all the dog poops.
You should see my backyard.
Good luck.
Oh my God. It is, oh God.
Landmines.
So bad. Yeah, everywhere. But it's going to be 50 freaking degrees tomorrow, which is
literally
the coolest
thing
ever.
And I will be sitting in an ice rink because Sean has a game. My son plays hockey, so
yeah,
we're finally getting some games after not playing all season. And I get to go to Geneva, but it'll be fine. It'll be good. It'll be nice to see him out.
Except for
actually playing.
Hilarious, because the first nice day in forever.
Right, I'll be inside.
He showed me a 20-degree ice rink. So, yay for Katie. Send her your thoughts and prayers. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Didn't really do much. Told Katie I started The New Girl. I'm obsessed.
Yes, good show.
Hilarious.
I told Kristen I watched it in the beginning of quarantine.
Did you watch it straight through?
Oh, hell yeah. You know I did.
I'm already on season 3. And Jess and Nick are they've become my new favorite TV couple. They're adorable. I love them so much.
They're just so funny.
They're fucking, she is so weird, and I love it. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I have no idea what Katie is saying, or what her story is today, which, as you all know, we don't discuss.
Top secret.
Yes, and again, we were discussing how to pronounce the name, so hopefully...
I mean...
It sounds right.
Here's the thing. It could be a normal name that I would just know how to pronounce, but it's missing a vowel.
Right.
So...
Not sure. I think you're saying it right, but either way.
Well, but the truth is that I'm not going to use that name the whole time.
Tyler's laying on a piece of foam that fell off the wall.
Yeah, he is.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Let's take a picture.
My dog is the cutest thing on the planet. They both are, but it's just, we'll post it on our Instagram. He's the cutest. He's laying on a piece of foam that fell off the wall, and it's adorable because he's too big for it. And it's like, oh, it's the cutest thing ever. Anyway, but yes, Katie's up. I am excited to hear her story. I heard a little teeny, teeny bit about what was it about on YouTube when she was listening to something that involved a horse. Someone who owns horses?
No horses were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Well, on that note, let's dive right in. Take the floor, Katie.
January 20th, 1966.
Oh, dang.
Lauren Renee Sims is born into this world. To Jesse and Jackie Sims, she has three siblings. She was born in Attleboro, Massachusetts. The family ended up moving to Florida.
Okie dokie.
She was highly intelligent. She had an IQ of 140.
Damn. What is genius? Isn't it 160?
Okay. So I wasn't sure of the numbers because that's just not... Well, I'm not a genius,
and
so I don't know.
We've never taken an IQ test, so...
The average IQ ranges from 85 to 114.
Yes. So she's probably genius level.
Yes. She's super smart.
I thought it was 85 to 100 was average, but 114, okay.
This is what Google tells me.
And I believe Google, so.
Let's give or take a few on both sides.
Yeah.
She is a cheerleader at Hernando High School, but despite her high intelligence and her activity in the school, she drops out of high school and picks up a new habit of stealing, which just ends up escalating.
Why? That's sad.
It is sad.
Right? So smart. What a waste. Was she like a super villain?
I wouldn't say she's on the level of Cruella.
Yeah.
But she's not good.
Okay.
So she gets married at 18. Time passes. She gets married a second time. Eventually, she's got two kids.
Okay.
She racks up a very long list of aliases.
Cool.
At least 38.
Oh, Jesus. I would love to see, like, her get pulled over. And, like,
well,
the long...
as I read, I think she would get out of it because she used her womanly ways.
Oh, so she was just smarter than all the male police officers and was, like, really good at flirting and manipulating.
She gets in trouble. Basically, it's like an avalanche of, like, thefts to fraud to whatever. There's, like, a couple small ones. And she ends up fleeing because she's wanted in Florida and Washington State.
So what does she steal? Is it just, like, petty stuff?
It started very petty with, like, hair dye. And then, like, she was put on house arrest, cut the bracelet off, went for it, escalated to grand theft auto and credit card fraud. So, like, just as time went, she went bigger and bigger. What else can I get? What else can I do?
I was going to say narcolepsy, but that's a sleeping disorder.
When you steal.
Kleptomania.
There it is.
But so she was definitely one of those.
It's on a bigger scale.
That's kind of what kleptomania is.
She likes nice things, so she tried to get
But I
nice
think with
things.
Them, they like the rush, and then it just progresses into bigger.
And she was good at it. So, I mean, you're going
to She's smart enough
do
to be
what
good
you're good
at it.
So she ends up fleeing to Vegas with her daughter, Haley. Under the alias of Elisa Rettelsberger. I think what I read was that that was actually the name of one of...
Got it.
And then her daughter was using the name Penelope Ivarone.
Oh, good. I'm so Ivarone. Glad that they decided to keep it in the family. Sure. Love the alias and the fraud game.
So at this point, she is 29 years old, shows up in Vegas. She shows up to this attorney's office and pretty much demands a job on the spot. Well, the person that she was demanding a job from was Larry McNabney. He was pretty much a hotshot attorney from the area, very well known. He had two offices, one in Reno, one in Vegas. And obviously she's a good-looking woman. As I said, she uses her womanly ways.
And a great manipulator.
And he's like, okay, sure, you can be our office manager.
What?
Yeah. I mean, 100% confidence.
I mean, confidence is king.
So, eventually they start dating. Obviously, he's got money, and she likes that.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
By the way, he's 46 years old.
How old is she at this point?
29.
Okay. So, big age.
So, they're dating, all that stuff. She persuades him. So, I guess for his commercials for his law firm, he used to, like, ride on a horse. He was known as, like, the Marlboro Man, like, a smooth talker, like, whatever. She ends up persuading him to buy a stable with show horses, and he starts competing. It's just, like, becomes their life.
Are they racing, or are they just show horses?
No, show horses.
Okay.
While it's good for them right now, their relationship does not please his family or friends, but he doesn't care.
Is it just the age difference, or they just don't like her?
No. So, it was not so much the age difference, but they couldn't seem to get a grasp on who she was. When they would ask personal questions, it'd be like, a minute later they're realizing they're talking about something completely different and, like, off topic. Like, she was just very good at getting people away from...
gearing conversation in the direction she wants it to go. Well, that's sounding like a textbook sociopath.
Yes. Later that year, which was 1995, Larry's firm gets investigated by the Nevada State Bar, and it's discovered that Elisa has embezzled $140,000 from clients that he had to pay back. Red flag? Nope, not for him.
What?
He's in love.
That would be a what the fuck? Yeah, no, klepto. No.
He was happy with her being around, so he just said, fuck it, I don't care. I'll pay him back.
Okay. Did no one press charges or anything?
Nope. So, he ends up closing his Reno and Vegas offices, and he opens up shop in Sacramento, and he ends up marrying her the next year in 1996. And by the way, this is his fifth wife.
Of course it is. He's a rich old white guy. I would be surprised if it wasn't, like, at least his third.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I hate to say that because some people are rich and old and are happy.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I mean, I just like the whole Vegas and Reno thing. I feel like that's just another, you know,
no,
that
you're
whole
right.
Lifestyle's a little different.
So after that, Larry ends up hiring a 21-year-old student of California State University.
Oh boy, how does this
Sarah go? Sarah Dutra as a legal secretary.
Oh.
Elisa and Sarah become very good friends. They go on shopping trips together. They go to the horse shows together. They would, Elisa would buy Sarah things because they almost dressed alike. So she'd be like, oh, I'll buy one for me and I'll buy one for Sarah.
So they're just besties.
Besties.
Great. Throuple status.
A little bit. So fast forward a few years. September 10th, 2001, Larry collapses at a horse show in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And he is last seen being pushed in a wheelchair the next day by Elisa and Sarah.
So it was throuple status.
It was kind of throuple status. But that is the last time he is seen alive.
Ooh,
so
fishy.
Elisa's telling everyone, including his adult kids, he's ill, he can't see anyone, like, just keeps everyone away.
Red flag.
There it is. His law firm stays open, and Elisa's going in and starts acting on his behalf, talking to other attorneys, settling cases, getting
shit. She's not an attorney. How is she settling cases?
Because she's super smart. Don't forget, she is a genius.
No, I get that, but like, you don't have a license to practice law.
Doesn't matter when you're a fraud. This isn't even her real name. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, nothing about her is real. So, like...
I get. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So, she's doing that. After some time, when people really start like, dude, it's been a month, it's been 2 months, like, where the hell is he? What is happening?
Well, that's a huge red flag. Because, honestly, like, people who, obviously, there's times where, like, people who are terminally ill, if they're, like, immunocompromised, you really can't see. But it gets to a point where you can see them. And you could probably talk to them on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, after some time, when people really start...
asking where the fuck he is?
Yeah. She starts telling people he filed for divorce, he left, he went to... He went on vacation, he's
in rehab. I thought he was
ill. He went and joined a cult in Florida. Like, just telling everyone different stories, which is, again, the wrong thing to do.
Right.
I mean...
Well, and it's, this is, we've talked about this, because there's been a couple that we've gone over that have had people, if they're all, they all know this guy, more than likely, they all know each other. So they're gonna talk to each other.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's
like. It's the wrong thing for her to do.
No, it's, that's the stupidest thing to do. But also, he was sick, and so sick he couldn't speak to anybody, and now you're just like, he's fine now. He's fine.
He's gone. He's just, he decided to leave on his own.
Yeah, I just, it's, I, you know, she's got an IQ of 140. I figured she could piece a story together better than that.
You'd think.
You'd think.
So Larry's adult kids end up getting suspicious and hire a private investigator, but nothing comes of it. By winter, Elisa clears out his office, sells, gives away his stuff, all that.
Wait, so she, you said she shut down his office?
Uh-huh, she closed it down. Emptied it out without, like, formally announcing it, but, like...
She sounds like a stand-up lady.
The cops end up wanting to question her because everyone's like, say, something's going on here.
I mean, makes sense.
Highly suspicious, and she's gone before they even had the chance. She was last seen on January 11th, 2002, in a brand new Jaguar, leaving town with $500,000 in his app. Of his assets.
Good. Good.
Obviously, she's the number one suspect, so a search begins, but it's difficult because, like I said, Elisa McNabney doesn't exist.
Yes.
That's not her name.
No, it is not.
So when they start searching is when they figured out that they closed the firm, that she closed down the firm, because they go in there, nothing's there. They find
His family and stuff didn't they were not, like, privy to her shutting down the business?
I mean, they're married. No.
Well, I mean, you would think that, like, his kids would have some stake in the company.
No, it was his company. Well,
I guess
sometimes, yeah, but I guess it wasn't set up that way.
I just can't believe that.
Okay,
I
don't know how formally she shut it down or just closed out the open cases and then left.
Yeah, and then
so,
just
like, it wasn't
just
a formal shutdown. She just fucking
like, what
went.
Happened to CJ? He just showed up to freaking the restaurant one day, and they were like, we're not open anymore, and the doors were changed up.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
Got it. Just like that. I just thought there had to be more steps, but I guess it's all illegal, so.
It's all done illegally,
yes.
So no.
Uh-huh.
Now, while they didn't find anything at the law firm, because there was nothing in there, they did find old files in a horse trailer. And they found documents with the name Lauren Renee Sims Jordan.
Oh, so she fucked up.
Is her name. There was a nationwide manhunt. A murder warrant was issued, along with a $10,000 reward for information leading up to her arrest.
Okay.
So Larry's body gets found on February 5th in a shallow grave in a vineyard in San Joaquin, which is about 3 hours south. Sacramento.
Oh.
I mean, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, definitely knew. He was not alive anymore.
No.
Yeah, there's one thing I can take from that story. He was definitely dead.
There's a reason people didn't hear from him.
Yeah.
So Elisa's on the run for about 14 months. She was hiding out in Destin, Florida under the alias Shane Ivoroni. which is actually the same last name that she had her daughter's alias as.
Whatever happened to her daughter?
She's still around. I guess.
She's still around.
She's out and about. I did read that after Larry was missing, she started working at the law firm. Haley very much knew that she and her mother were, well, she, because of her mother, were on the run from authority for a long time. I mean, it was not a secret to her. She was old enough to know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like her mom just taught her the way in the life.
Pretty much. So they were hiding out in Destin, Florida, and it got to a point that the police were kind of circling in on her. So on March 20th, 2002, she ended up just turning herself in. At this point, she is 36 years old. She was held in Hernando County Jail in Brooksville, Florida, without bail, and was waiting to be extradited to California, obviously, where the murder took place.
I still don't understand why people don't leave the country. You killed somebody, dude. You have $500,000. Drive somewhere. You have 900 aliases.
Seriously.
Literally, go to an island, the Cayman Islands, or is it the Cayman Islands that don't have extradition laws? And just live there.
Maybe it's because she got away with things for so long
that
she didn't think she'd get caught.
She thought
she was invincible.
People do go to Mexico and, like, some, you know, get, like, bounty hunters and stuff to go find them. But legit, it's so many stories we tell that it's just, like, and then they went to, like, South Carolina or Florida, and you're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go somewhere where they, like, people aren't gonna, it's gonna be really difficult to get you back. Like, the murder of Doris Worrell. They went to fucking Costa Rica. We don't have freaking extradition laws with them.
Right.
So they just don't have to come back to the United States, and they're good to go. All gravy. I just, you know, one of those things. I'm like, Florida?
No, I mean, like, I totally agree.
But yeah. I never get it.
That's
like,
where
that's
she
your
ended
plan.
Up.
Florida. Got it.
So when she's being held, she ends up writing a 3-page confession detailing her actions along with Sarah Dutra's actions. Because she
was alone
in this act. So basically, to outline what ended up happening to Larry, they drugged him with horse tranquilizer.
Ketamine, got it.
Yum.
Fun stuff.
The plan was that they were going to bury him in Yosemite Park on their way back from the horse show. But, surprise, he was still alive. So they were like, fuck, our plan's ruined. So they ended up just driving back home, dosing him up a few more times until he died. And then they...
Yeah, I was going to say, they could have just given him, like, 2 more doses.
They did, but I think they panicked. So they were like, oh, shit, what should we do? I don't know, let's just go back home and figure it out. Give him another shot.
I just feel like they should have just... I don't take this the wrong way, everybody. But, like, wait it out. I mean, the guy's not well anyway. You know what I mean?
Well.
Like, I just... and
we can't all be good at killing
people.
What was the
plan where you're like, we're going to bury him in Yosemite Park on the way home? And then, you know, I'm sure they had, like, people who worked in their house. You're just like, oh, he's not here. And then there's witnesses and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, it gets even trickier because they bring him home and they end up putting him in a freezer in the garage and seal it up with duct tape.
Oh, boy.
And then, so that's September. So then at the end of December, she ends up burying him in the vineyard that he was obviously found in because he's dead. Can't walk anywhere.
How did they find him, though? That's kind of crazy.
And she buried him in the vineyard for, like, as an attribute because he loved wine.
What a psychopath. Also, you killed him. So, sounds like something that he would appreciate so much. How did they find him? Was it, like, a shallow grave?
It was a very shallow grave, and a limb was sticking out.
Listen, she's on an IQ of 140. And I know that we read a lot about murder, because we do, obviously. We enjoy true crime and, you know, podcasts and the such or the like, whatever. I feel like you and I could really get away with murder.
I don't want this part of the conversation taped for legal purposes.
Like, why? It's just like, you know what I mean? She was so smart and really intelligent. You would think that she would be a little bit more thorough.
Well, as I'll explain later, she ended up doing it on her own. Like, physically burying him on her own. So it could have been, physically, she could not dig the grave any deeper than what she did. Anyway, let me continue.
Yeah.
So after she writes her confession, she visits with her family. She is able to see her 16-year-old son, Cole, whom she had not seen in 9 years.
Who's he living with?
I don't know. If I had to guess, his grandparents.
Yeah, probably something like that. I thought she had 2 daughters. I didn't know she had.
No, she had 1 daughter, Haley, who she brought with her, and then she left her son behind.
Good. Hopefully he had a relatively regular upbringing.
Hopefully. So March 31st, she's in jail, still waiting to be extradited. But instead, she says, nope, I'm done. She tears apart a pillowcase, braids it, and hangs herself. They find her at 11:30, take her to the hospital, but she ends up dying very early in the morning.
Yeah.
But before she did that, she wrote a letter to the family instructing them to sue the jail for not keeping her from committing suicide. So at least she stayed true to her own self up to the end.
Right? For her own...
Which later they went through the tapes and stuff. She was like, they're not checking on me as often as they should. And the tapes were like, no, like, you're just a freaking psycho and want money.
Well, I mean,
unselfishly, she wanted to give it to her kids, but still, lady.
It's just, the plan was so bad. It was not, and you think that, like, because she is so smart that you're going to be like, all right, this is going to be great.
I think she was kind of straight shooting for long enough when she was married because she had the money to do whatever she wanted that she maybe lost her touch.
Because that was a fucking awful plan. I mean, it was a fucking terrible plan. And if maybe it was a better plan when they first, like, hashed it out with each other. But what a terrible plan.
Yeah.
What a terrible plan.
So... within reading everything, I wanted to point out that Larry was not a completely innocent person, not to say that he deserved to be killed by any
means.
What
do you mean, a lawyer being not great?
It's
unheard of.
No
offense to everyone that I know that's an attorney. You're great.
It's true. All the attorneys I know are fabulous. But as I said before, he has 4 ex-wives, and 2 of them had restraining orders against him.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what for, so I'm just saying what I know. And then also in a letter that she wrote to her daughter, Elisa said, quote, I could not figure a way out. The drugs, the alcohol, the prostitutes, the trust account, things I told you about, he just couldn't bring himself out of the darkness. End of quote. By the St. Petersburg Times. It was very clear that he had an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really dig up anything else.
Vegas is not great
she
for
talked about.
Alcoholics.
I will say that in Sarah Dutra's trial, Haley, Elisa's daughter, testified that his drinking had gotten so out of hand in 2001, the year that he was killed, that he barely left his room, barely went to work. Take that for what you will, but she said it in court, so she must have really meant it.
Man, again, I just can't get over. You could have just waited out. This man sounded so unbelievably unhealthy.
Also, could have just divorced him. He's done it before. He knows the tricks.
I'm sure they had a prenup. Mm. You know, she came in with nothing. Probably. I would have... just waited it out. I mean, it's only a matter of time before his heart gives out.
It's true.
You know?
Or his liver.
Or his liver, or kidneys, or multiple other organs that die because of alcohol.
Right.
Well, abuse. For years, because he was much older.
Yeah, he was 46.
Yeah.
Well, he was 46 when they met, so he was in his 50s.
Yeah, for sure. And was obviously unwell.
Right. So, Sarah Dutra ends up going to trial. It lasts for 3 months. In 2003, she claimed that she was a victim of Elisa's manipulations as her defense.
Sure.
But again, when Haley testified, she said that Sarah never acted like she was afraid of her mom. So when she was charged with capital murder, but ultimately she was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and being an accessory to the murder.
After the fact.
She was sentenced to 11 years in jail and ended up serving about 85% of the time.
I was actually going to guess 14, so I was close too.
Mm-hmm. She was also ordered to repay $170,000 to Larry's clients because, like I said,
they were embezzling money.
They were just taking all the monies.
Yeah.
She was released August 26, 2011 at the age of 31. I don't know what she's doing now.
Probably got an alias and moved to Florida.
Sure, that's where they all go.
That seems to be where there's a lot of murders we talk about where people go to Florida.
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 Interesting thing was that after the trial, some things came to light that constitutionally had been kept from the jurors that changed a handful of their minds on what they ended up sentencing her with, or charging her. Not, what am I thinking? Sentencing.
Yeah. Charging, sentencing, what changed, it should, they changed their mind on their verdict.
Yeah, but, like, not the degree of verdict, I should say.
Oh, okay.
So, during the trial, Sarah had been portrayed heavily by her attorney as an innocent girl who was manipulated by this older woman who was,
bought,
you know,
stuff,
a fraud and all this whatever.
Well, you know, glamorous and pretty and I'm sure had things that she wanted, whatever.
Right. They found out, the jurors found out afterwards that there was a jailmate of Sarah's who absolutely refused to testify after she had told authorities, but she told authorities that Sarah had been bragging in jail about giving the fatal injection to Larry. So that doesn't look good. And also so that she could prove herself.
To what's her face?
Aletha. Yes. I've been calling her Aletha the whole time just to keep
Lara.
It.
Lara.
Lauren.
Lauren. Lauren.
There was also a videotaped interview between Aletha and FBI where Aletha pretty much explains everything that they did, but that videotape was not allowed to be shown to the jury during the trial or the public, obviously.
Why?
I don't know. It said constitutionally, so I really don't know.
That's interesting.
But Aletha's side of it during the interview gives more of the vibe of them working together versus her being like, hey, I'm tricking this young girl.
Right.
In the interview, Aletha also said that it was Sarah's idea to remove Larry's clothing before she buried him so that there was less of their DNA on him.
So they didn't, oh my God.
And I do have to point it out that I read that it was clear that Aletha was lying during certain parts of this interview. Ultimately, it became very clear with everything that Sarah was not as innocent as her defense made it out to seem. And the jurors were quoted in newspapers and such of stating, like, I was duped. Like, I thought she was this innocent young girl who was tricked. And then you see this stuff and you're like, well, shit.
Hey, that's...
Because...
That's the country we live in, folks.
She was charged...
That's why we pay a bajillion dollars to defense counsels.
She was charged with capital murder, but they only found her guilty of involuntary manslaughter. And so a lot of them were saying, like, dude, like, we would have given her more had we realized
this, like, her plan.
But that's our judicial system.
That's also why you pay fucking $1 million to your defense counsel.
Yep.
Because it sounds like they put on a show.
Yes.
Was worth her money.
I mean, they didn't let her walk away with nothing. So, I mean, good that they still were like, eh.
I mean, at this point.
We don't want you to just walk away with nothing because it sounds like something.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's surprising to me that they actually went to trial. That they didn't just settle for manslaughter.
Well, I think part of it was because, think about it. He was murdered beginning of September. After that, they were seen gallivanting around, spending stupid money, shopping trips, hotel trips, seeing shows, buying clothes, buying new cars. So it's like...
They probably didn't offer a deal.
So it's kind of like, well, how innocent could you have been if you didn't go home and, like, be like, what the fuck did I do? Not that you have to, like, not that you would go turn yourself in, but there was no guilt. I mean, she was completely taking in all of the money that they were getting. So, right. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
It does make sense that she wasn't let off completely scot-free.
Well, that's what I mean, is that I can't believe that they pushed it to trial. I can't believe that they were like, if you give us information on where Alisa is, we'll charge you with manslaughter for 11, well, you'll go to jail for 11 years with possibility of parole in 5, whatever they say.
I don't think she knew where she was. And what I read was that, like I said, she was a
student. Or even
student.
Dare to plead. Like, they really went to trial and she looks guilty as fuck. I would have been like, yeah, I'm gonna, but I guess it worked out anyway.
I mean,
but you know what I mean?
I mean, it all ended up.
It all, I mean, not great for good old Lair Bear, but...
Nope, he's gone.
Yeah, he's definitely gone. But you know what I mean? Sure. Like, I feel like it was kind of crazy that they were like, no, we're not going to try to settle or get a deal or cut a deal. We're going to go to trial because you are very close to getting charged with capital murder, possible death penalty, depending on if Nevada has it or not, which...
Not Nevada.
Oh, California. I'm sorry. Sacramento. You're right.
But yeah, so what I told Kristen before we started recording was that I did not realize how big of a case this was until I really started diving in. Very popular in the way of it sets a good plot because there was a made-for-TV movie.
Ooh.
From Lifetime. Yes. Called Lies My Mother Told Me. This story was also featured on Dateline, Evil Stepmothers, Deadly Wives, and Snapped.
Evil Stepmothers?
And
did Larry have other kids? Did Larry have kids with his other wives?
Yes, grown kids. They were grown.
Yeah, Evil Stepmothers.
They killed his dad, so it didn't... I mean,
yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, right.
And then there was a true crime novel written based on the story called Marked for Death. So, kind of fucked up.
Well, I feel like she was so smart. I mean, I just... not again.
But you can't get away with it forever.
And
also, let me cite my sources real quick.
Yes, go ahead.
Wikipedia, Murderpedia, Oxygen.com,
LodiNews.com,
Time Herald, Online.com, RecordNet.com. Also, if anyone's interested, there is a book called A Liar and a Killer, The True Story of Sarah Dutra. And I will admit that I did not care enough to read it. Mostly because I would have had to pay $20, and no thank you.
Should have checked it out on Audible, bruh.
Probably, but I'm good. So...
I might check that out.
It was kind of a wild story.
I just keep, like, circling back to how bad their plan was.
Awful plan.
It was such a bad plan. Like, I just don't... Were they on drugs or drinking? I just am like, where do you see this ending?
I didn't
ending?
Read anything about them, like, being super into drugs, super into drinking. I just think they liked the rich lifestyle, and they were like, you know what? Fuck Larry, I'm sick of this guy.
And
we have horse tranquilizers readily available for
which
us.
Which can kill you very quickly.
Let's just do it to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's my takeaway from this is I was like, all right, so she's super smart, and this is probably going to be like, but it was very much done in, like, a panic and in a relative, I mean, it's
I
a vineyard.
I think it would have ended up differently had he died as fast as they planned and he was buried in Yosemite National Park.
Yeah.
With both of them, because originally... Sarah was supposed to help dig. Obviously, that's the plan. And then ultimately, she's like, Yeah, I'm not going to do the labor for this.
Well, and I'm sure Larry was not a small guy.
Well, he wasn't too big either, though. But he's still a grown man.
Right, which is super difficult to... I mean, regardless, it's just dead weight. And if you've ever
literally had to, like, lift... Weight.
Yes, do that. I just... Maybe it would have been a little bit better, but I feel like they could have set it up a little better. I don't know. I just feel like there would have been suspicion regardless, but why our podcast is called No Body, No Problem... If you, there's no body, there's technically no crime, because Lair Bear could have gone anywhere, but it made it more...
There was the body, which caused them problems.
But it just, it makes it, like, so much more suspicious, you know, when they are making up these stories.
Well, and then you're, like, not worried about your husband not being around. You're just going out and living your best life.
It just, it makes it so much more fucking suspicious that he was sick before, and then it was like they saw you wheeling him away. It was just like, and they're like, well, where did he go?
Right,
we saw you push him somewhere. Well, where did you take him?
His kids had pointed out, like, our dad calls us for the holidays if we do not see him at
of course
least. And like the holidays came and went, and they're like, no,
something's wrong. Yeah.
Jinx. So
yeah, I just can't get over, because, you know, she was so smart. But again, there's so many things that I want to tweak, but that's my crazy murder brain. And I'm like, we could have made this
you
so much better.
You can't go back and redo it for them.
I would not want to do it for them, because they both sound like assholes. But that was great. I know, I don't think I've ever heard that story, which is surprising.
Barry, I thought you were going to... know it, considering how popular it was.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever heard that one. And it was, I mean, it's not too old.
No.
Early 2000s?
I mean, it happened right before 9/11.
Oh, man.
September 10th was when he collapsed at the horse show, 2001.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild? I didn't even think about it until I was, like, reviewing my outline. I was like, but I have a joke, and it's not my own. I'm going to give a shout out and props to Rachel.
Yay.
She randomly texts me good jokes that she hears. And I always appreciate them. She always stumps me. I always chuckle.
Because she's the best.
This one was so good that I immediately was like, yeah, I'm going to say that on the podcast this week. It's more on the dirty side.
Love. I'm so in. Oh, Katie's Corny Corner. Boom.
Cut it out.
cut it out.
So, what's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
The whore.
You can't hear an enzyme. You can hear a hormone. I'm not supposed to say that second part, but you were getting it.
I was so close.
I was dying.
I said the whore.
You did.
I did. I was so close. I never get the ones when you ask me. But I was really close on that one.
kind of, but yeah.
I mean, I said the whore.
It was good.
That was dirty.
Also, congrats to Pete and Rachel. This is another little piece of good news. They moved into their new house this week. Bravo.
They so excited did. To see people progressing in life.
Heck yeah. We love our friends.
Yeah, all of our friends. Just doing, making moves. Making moves, you know, doing big stuff. Good stuff. Katie just almost set her laptop on fire.
It happens.
No big deal. I have to do my spiel. I know, I'm sure everyone hates it, but everyone, you know, you gotta do it.
It's part of it.
Like, subscribe, review. We are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Anchor and, you know, all of the, pretty much all the podcast platforms. We are at nobody.noproblem on Insta. We are at nobody.noproblem on Facebook. We are just out there doing our thing, you know? So give us a like and a share and a review and 5 stars, obviously, because we're the best.
We try.
We do. We enjoy this very much. Whether or not you like it, it's up to you. But we like it. So listen, don't listen. Hope you enjoy. I think that's it. Everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah.
And we hope that everybody in the Midwest, your snow melts.
Yes.
So much.
Seeing
tomorrow.
So many driveways. It's amazing.
I know. Oh my God. We have a backyard. You can see our cement. What a great day that was. It's been a long time. I can walk on my deck.
It's amazing.
It's a great feeling.
Soon we'll be out in the hot tub.
I can move my car. Ooh, yay, cool tub, pool tub. I can move my car, which is great. So that's great. But,
all right.
Yeah, we will,
This is Katie.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is Nobody, No Problems, signing out. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep, and we will see you guys next week.
See you on the flip side.
Okay, bye.
Bye.